It's Startup Nation on News Talk 760 WJR. Here's Jeff and Dan.
Okay, welcome back to Startup Nation Radio. God, I just can't jump in fast enough and keep this moving along. Great stuff on branding today, Dan. We actually, you know, one of the other things I'm loving, we had a great call in from Ike from The Nation. We also just got a text message from Rocky Ballore from Framart in Birmingham, Michigan, saying, I'm loving the show today. Branding is so important, but sometimes people jump the gun and they start focusing on sub-branding. Too many different brands, too many things to focus on. He said, stick to the main brand first. Really pour all
your
energy
into
that.
Point.
Yeah, thank
really
you,
point.
Rocky. Thank you for checking in on the show and giving good advice to our great community of entrepreneurs and small business owners. All right, moving right along. We mentioned in this segment we would talk about people who have companies.
We're building a brand.
We're building brands, right, exactly. And so we've got Peter Bailey on the line. He's co-owner of Two James Distillery in Corktown, Detroit. Peter, welcome to the show.
How you guys doing?
Hey, great,
really good,
great.
Peter.
We're going to get to you in 1 second. I also want to introduce our other guest, Ted Katulish from Eastern Michigan University. Now, this is interesting. This is branding. Ted's responsible for branding a university.
That's right.
So this is really going to be great stuff.
Which, again, a very competitive space. You need to differentiate yourself and live that brand promise.
Yep. Now, Peter, you're on with us. You've got a company called Two James Distillery. Now, I get the distillery part. We talked in the segment earlier about, does a brand need to be descriptive, or can you be cute and playful with it, and can you make that work? I don't know what Two James is, but tell me, is your brand working for you, and how'd you come up with it, and what are some of the challenges and advantages of having a brand, Two James Distillery?
Absolutely, absolutely. So when me and my business partner many moons ago started trying to determine what we'd call the parent company, if you will, and I actually created this huge, I'm a scientist by trade, and created this huge matrix of ideas to try to give us some kind of creative fodder. And a lot of it was fine and dandy, but ultimately, you know, none of it really meant much to us. I mean, it was cool. It was interesting. Some stuff was a little bit too far out there. And we had just been talking about, just our family past. Both my father had passed away and my business partner's father had passed away some time ago. And he just asked me, hey, what was your dad's name? Let's just, you know, let's
I love that. I love that too. I'm loving where this is going. I'm mm-hmm. loving it because now I understand your brand. Your challenge is to get that message across.
It means something.
But it really has.
Yeah.
I love the meaning of it. I actually want to do business with you because the story hit me right in the heart.
Yeah, yeah. And it means a lot to us. So he basically goes, hey, what's your dad's name? And I go, James. He goes, interesting. So was mine. And I think we were like, James and James? Two James. Done.
So you two guys are executing this business in your father's honor. That's amazing. I mean, your father's
Absolutely.
Name. I love it.
In honor
that.
Of a lot of people, but it really spoke to our values. And we, as we moved forward, one of the first things that we needed to address was, you know, especially in this industry, are you branding a legacy company or just an individual product? Because if you plan to sell out in this industry, you ultimately end up wanting to just have individual products branded individually, because typically the larger firms that might purchase you, they won't buy a whole company, they just want to buy a brand. We decided at that point, or actually before this, but it worked all synergistically together, that we want to create a legacy company. And in doing so, that's why everything is, you know, under the main vision to James.
Okay. So to our text message point,
yeah.
You didn't want to spend your money or reduce your impact by branding a bunch of sub-brands or diversifying so much. You wanted to really focus on Two James.
Absolutely. I mean, we spent, if you guys look at our packaging, we found a great industry partner in Stranger & Stranger. That's a branding and design firm out of London, New York. Their portfolio just resonated with us. And they ended up creating a year of our life, really went into the first iterations of that process. I mean, we got a custom bottle mold. It took months and months and months and months to develop. But all of that is trying to give us that little edge. And then, you know, this space is crowded and differentiation is incredibly important. And it's hard for smaller firms with limited pocketbooks to go up against the big boys. But where I think there's a really, really interesting facet for us is, you know, with respect to, you know, our aesthetic vision, you know, showing that every little element of our business we care about, to the bottle design, to label design. So when you crack open that bottle, you go, hey, if these guys care half about as much as the juice as they do in their packaging, it's going to be good.
That's great. Now, tell us exactly what it is you guys are selling.
Right now we have three main products in the marketplace, which is 28 Island Vodka, Old Cockney Gin, and then Grass Widow Bourbon.
Okay.
We do have some other R&D and smaller products that we just released to the tasting room until it ended up going to the market.
Okay, so let me tell you an amazing thing that happened for me relative to your brand, and I'll bet it happens throughout. It's probably representative of the entire market, I would imagine. And that is this, Peter. When I looked at the name of your brand on paper, 2 James Distillery, number one, I didn't know what it meant, and number two, I didn't know the story you told me of where the name came from. Now that I do know, I'm in love with your brand. I'm bought in. I've got a sympathetic approach to what you guys are doing. It, you know, as I said, it hit me in the heart. I want to do business with you versus the alternative, and even give you some wiggle room. I don't want to say even if the product weren't as good, but the point is, that's the power of a brand to get a consumer to choose you versus the alternative.
It was an emotional connection.
But yeah, the emotional connection. There you go, Dan. But the challenge is this, especially for a small company. How do you bridge the gap between me seeing that name on paper? Now, here on the radio, you got a chance to, you know, have some airtime and explain what it is that you do. But of course, in a, you know, trying to hit a consumer and get them to come your way, we have seconds, you know. So how are you getting your message across to have that brand work for you?
Well, that's a really interesting point. I mean, we have a pretty limited budget, and most of the traction we've gotten so far has just been through guerrilla marketing. And it goes to show, you know, we're very fortunate, right time, right place. We're the first distillery in Detroit since Prohibition. There's a number of other distilleries on the horizon. This would be good for all of us. But the community has totally embraced us. And because we have a tasting room where you can do tours, you can come in, you can see the operation, you can taste the products, you can meet the owners, you know, that gives us a lot of buy-in, as we have, obviously, people are paying us to basically help demonstrate the quality of the brand to them. And then when they're here, they get a real authentic buy-in, which is great. But it's really mostly guerrilla. And we've had so much community support, and which is exemplified by this, by me being able to speak on air about this as well, that's really what we're trying to do. And as a small guy, you need to take all those opportunities that you're given and just, you know, ride the wave as long as you can, because it's not going to have it forever. So we just try to really pound the pavement, do good things. We've got a great distributor who's Great Lakes Wine and Spirits, has really been helping promote us, and we have a great team of employees that I think feel real ownership over the company and our future.
Well, Peter, it's an amazing story. You guys have a great company. You're off and running. Listen, I'm going to demonstrate right now the power of a brand. You hit me in the heart, as I said before. I want to make sure we get your website address. How do people find out about you? How do they buy your product? Because I want to make sure they're doing business with you because of that great story behind 2 James. Tell us how they get a hold of you.
I really appreciate that. We can be reached online at 2james.com. That's TWOJAMES. And then we also have a tasting room and distillery here in Corktown on Michigan Avenue, 2445 Michigan Avenue, between 16th and 17th. We have tours and tastings happening all the time, so please come on down.
Okay. Right on, fantastic. Right on. Great stuff. Peter, thanks so much for being on and sharing your branding issues, challenges, opportunities, et cetera, with us, the process by which you got our brand, the story behind it, et cetera. Great stuff. Peter, continue.
All right.
Good luck.
Cheers.
Thanks for being on. Let's move right now to another interesting story. Ted Katulish, you're responsible for the Eastern Michigan University brand.
How do you brand a university?
I mean, you know, there's nothing really catchy about that name, Eastern Michigan University. How do you, when you think about exposing that brand and making it work for you guys, what do you think about? What do you do? What are you focused on?
Thank you very much for having me on the show.
You're welcome, Ted.
Eastern Michigan University has a long history of being in Michigan, and it is founded as a teacher's college, and we're rooted in our slogan today, education first. We have a brand campaign called True EMU, and certainly students are taking to that campaign. Eastern Michigan University has enjoyed 2 straight years of successful record new student enrollment. In fact, Eastern Michigan University is the fastest growing university in the state of Michigan.
That's amazing. And, and so true to your brand, you've got a shirt on that says True EMU. You brought some trinkets in, the True EMU. So tell us about, if you were an entrepreneur out there today, based upon what you've learned and what you're doing, what would you suggest an entrepreneur do to brand their company?
There's 3 things that I would do. First of all, I would develop an identity system, which includes logos, typefaces, colors, Second thing I would do is develop an effective, user-friendly website. And the third thing I would do is have a social media presence. Those are the nuts and bolts of any branding communication program.
Great, great stuff. Listen, we want to have you back. We know we got crunched at the end here. So much great content today. We want to follow your story. I am actually very intrigued by what you do because, again, it's one thing to bring a consumer product to market with a catchy name. You know, a university is a university, and that's a little tougher, and I think it's very interesting. We want to hear more from you. But great guest today, great content. Dan, we learned a thing or two about branding, that's for sure.
I'm very impressed with everything. All of our guests today, the Access to Experts, have been fantastic.
Right
on.
Thank you, Ted.
Great show. Tune in every week, same time, same place, Startup Nation Radio. Let's make some dreams come true.